This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Wiley Price was in his early 20s when his photos first appeared on the pages of the St. Louis American, one of the longest-running African-American weekly newspapers in the country. And for more than four decades, Price built his skills and reputation with his photojournalist work. His camera captured the momentous and the mundane, sometimes in the same frame. His photo of then-U.S. Senator Barack Obama in St. Louis, surrounded by AME bishops praying over the future president, is just one example. It also happens to be a photograph that's been viewed by thousands and thousands of people who visited the National Museum of African American History and Culture. But Price is perhaps best loved for his commitment to depictions of everyday people engaged in ordinary but also remarkable and important moments in life. Elementary school kids in a semicircle playing guitars almost as big as they are. People of all ages marching in the shadow of the Gateway Arch in protest over police brutality. Community members gathered for events ranging from summer fests and sports matches to funerals and so much more. Wiley Price retired from the St. Louis American on December 31st, and he joins us today to talk about his award-winning career and the experiences he's had through it. Wiley, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you for having me.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
How has your day-to-day changed since you retired at the end of December?
Never in my life have I sat still for so long in one place, my home. It's been a wonderful experience to just sit still for a minute.
Mm-hmm. And you were doing a lot of moving for the American. And one of the things that you did was a video that was posted by the St. Louis American. It was for social media. And you took it back to the beginning and your first camera that your mother bought for you at the Famous and Barr department store in Clayton. And you talked about having a camera that spit the pictures out the front.
Sure, Polaroid.
So what sorts of pictures were you taking with your Polaroid?
Nothing. I mean, just I had a dog, Schnauzer, took pictures of him, took pictures of my dad with the dog. My dad took pictures of me with the dog. Things, I mean, just mundane things. And it just meant nothing to me. I was just having fun with the camera.
Mm-hmm. What is it that compelled your mother to get you a 35-inch Vivitar?
What most people don't know about me is that really I am a musician. I'm a trained classical trombonist. I was going to UMSL for music after coming back from Wisconsin. So during that transition, my mother really realized that I was really engulfed in it. So she called herself doing me a favor and getting me a camera as a hobby.
Okay.
And I immediately took to it. I was like, oh, wow, you know, this is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, too, I didn't realize that 35 millimeter meant something to what a Polaroid would do.
Mm-hmm.
I could see the difference in the format immediately. I was like, oh, I didn't know the pictures looked like this. And that caught my interest.
And then, too,
I realized that taking pictures was not as easy as I thought it would be.
Oh, what was challenging about it?
The fact that you have to do the exposure yourself.
You can put the camera
on automatic, but sometimes it doesn't really look right. So I started fooling around with the manual side, and I realized, oh, there's a skill set to this that nobody really talks about.
Mm-hmm.
That is what kind of sucked me into it.
Discoveries that you made in that process that really sort of cemented for you that photography was something you wanted to pursue?
Not so much that. It was also the fact that it's not as easy as you think.
So you like challenges.
Yeah, I did. And especially when I tried to shoot sports. You know, I've been in sports all my life, but to see something fly by and you're looking through the viewfinder, and when you shoot it, it has already happened, that caught my eye, too, because I'm looking at Sports Illustrated, and these guys don't miss. How are they doing this?
Mm-hmm. Why is it that you chose photojournalism and not, you know, you've mentioned sports photography.
Mm-hmm.
Why not other types? What was it about being a journalist?
I chose photojournalism because, honestly, when I started freelancing for an African-American newspaper, I quickly realized I didn't know my own people. We all think, no matter what nationality you are, you just assume you know who you are and you know your people. I quickly realized that I didn't, to the point where it was almost kind of embarrassing. And my mother had just set me straight on that, because she said to me, everybody's like that. And I was like, really? She goes, yeah, so people don't really know their own race or their purity. And it made me feel better. But also, I started meeting people in the African-American community who were doing things. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the first time I've ever heard of you. But yet, everybody around you knows who you are but me.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of made me feel like, okay, you need to start paying attention here. And now that I'm taking a picture of this guy, who else is like this? Well, in my life, it was everyone that I met. Every day I was meeting someone that was moving the community forward, and I've never heard of you or seen you before.
What was it about the news part that interested you?
Once I shot a car accident and a house fire, I realized that, oh, here's the real news side of what they call spot news. So I happened to ask a fireman, you know, how can I get a radio from you guys? And he said to me, oh, you don't have to worry about getting it from us. You can go to Radio Shack and buy a scanner, and they will program it for you to get St. Louis Fire and Police Department. That opened up the floodgates for me. I could hear every call and judge whether or not I want to go by the call.
Where did those events take place?
Wherever the call comes out.
So it's specifically, you said a house fire and a car accident.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember like where those happened?
Oh, no. I mean, and I'm talking about in general.
In general.
Yes. I mean, when the call goes out, you never know where it's going to be until they say it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's closer to my house than I realize.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, I have shot accidents and fires where this is blocks away from my home. And a lot of times, even the fire department knew that. They go, oh, you must live close by. I'm like, yes, I do. Because when they pulled up, I'm already standing there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got used to that. And also, too, when you get used to hearing the jargon on the radios, you kind of know how to judge it, whether or not you should go or you shouldn't. And so I was always on top of things. And even, there was even sometimes when the fire department or the police would come to the newspaper and buy the pictures I took for them because they needed them for evidence.
Mm. So you were using your ears just as much as you were your eyes.
Photography is very much a sight and sound profession.
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. Sometimes you hear the picture first before you see it.
Are there recent examples of that?
Oh, I'll give a perfect example. When kids are playing in the room, you're facing one way, and a child will say something, and you hear the picture because the child says something. You turn around and look, and they are doing something that's really picturous, but you heard the picture first.
Okay.
You didn't see it first. You heard it first, but you're not conscious of that.
So the imagination also is...
Oh, very much so, and you don't even realize it. Your mind takes care of that. Most people hear a picture before they see it. They just don't realize it.
How have you developed that over time? Were there certain like mentors that you had? Were you looking to other sources in order to sharpen that skill?
I sharpened the skill because my parents read newspapers and looked at magazines. From a child, I remember Life and Look magazine being in the house and The Post and The Globe Democrat being in the house. Those four publications, we always had both dailies. Now, mind you, we were supposed to be poor, but we had both papers coming to the house every day.
Mm-hmm.
My parents read newspapers. So my mother used to always say to me, especially when I got into like sixth and seventh grade, she'd always say to me, just look at the pictures in the newspaper so that you understand what is going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I used to hate to do that. What kid wants to look through the newspaper? You're in sixth grade. Please.
So she was turned around and you were behind her. She was imagining some pictures too.
I told my mother that later on and she was like, it wasn't that bad. I guess it was because I was in sixth grade. You know, when I got to junior high school and we started looking at papers, I was like, oh, here we go. So I'd already started.
Mm-hmm. We would like you to join this conversation. How has Wiley Price's work affected how you see and understand St. Louis's Black community? Or do you have a well wish for him on his retirement? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send an email to talk@stlpr.org. So, Wiley, you spent an aggregate of 42 years mm-hmm. with the St. Louis American, but you worked for the South Side and South County journals, collectively called the Suburban Journals,
yes.
from 1988 to 93.
That's correct.
How did those years inform your approach to photography, not only in terms of what you shot, but how you went about getting those images?
I went from a predominantly African-American shooting situation to a predominantly white shooting situation going into South County. I still had African-Americans in my shooting position, but it was predominantly white. So the way I shot also changed. You have to be conscious of the environment that you're shooting in, because not every environment is the same. And you can't just walk into an environment and shoot and not understand the emotional state of the room. And especially as an African-American photographer, because as African-Americans, we are somewhat suspicious of who you are and what are you using these pictures for. When in a predominantly Caucasian living position, they know that you're with a newspaper and they know what you're using it for. And normally, they know who you are. With African-Americans, you pretty much have to introduce yourself because they don't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that changes the way you do things. Because people always say, oh, why do you always introduce yourself? I said, because nobody really knows who I am. But when I was at the South County Journals, people already knew who I was, even the police department. And a police officer point blank said that to me. He said, we heard that there was a black guy at the South County Journals now taking pictures. And it was me.
How did that feel?
I liked it because it makes you walk into a room knowing that people already know who you are, or they've at least heard of you. When you're working in the African-American community, more than likely, the majority of the room has not heard of you before. I've watched people say to someone else, you know this guy, you were there when he did so-and-so, and they don't remember me.
Mm-hmm. How long have you had a mustache, Wiley?
Since my junior high school.
Oh, wow.
It just kind of exploded.
Okay, so
it
was keeping it part of how you made yourself recognizable in
a
way?
Very much so. People, that's the first thing they say. The tall, skinny black guy with the mustache. People go, oh, yeah, him.
Okay. And the camera, of course.
Right.
Did you carry more than one camera?
Every photojournalist carries two cameras.
Mm-hmm.
One short lens, one long lens. And you always think you don't really need two cameras, and you wind up needing them. You do.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Situations change, and instead of just you uncoupling one and connecting another, it's already there, set and ready to go. You shut up and you fire.
Those years with the Suburban Journals, when you did go back to the St. Louis American, did anyone notice any difference in the pictures that you were bringing back, or was there any difference in the interactions that you had with folks?
Yeah, because the funny part about that was, it made me realize that people had missed me.
Oh.
And really, even people that lived on the south side of town would always say, well, how come I only see you sometime? I don't see you like I used to. And then I would tell them where I was working. They would go, oh, we didn't realize that. But after about a year or so, people started seeing me, and it got out that I had actually left the paper.
Mm-hmm. Was that recognition from folks living on the south side, did that translate to their reading the St. Louis American in a way that they had not before? Did it raise their awareness of it?
Yes, it did, particularly when I came back to the American, because people had actually missed me, and they had started reading the South Side Journal because they realized that that's where I was now. But it shocked me when I came back that so many people were happy to see me. I was very surprised by that.
What does that say about the power of photography in journalism?
The power of photography in journalism is so important to the African-American community because documentation has not been our forefront as far as recording our history. It really hasn't. We've kind of like hit and missed it. Even for the papers that were out doing what they were supposed to do, we didn't take care of that history once it was over. You know, it got kind of tossed away in the trash almost. So nowadays, though, because of computers, history is very easy to keep because you don't really have to keep track of it. Once it hits the internet, it's there forever.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a very quick break here, but we'll return shortly to pick up this conversation with Wiley Price, newly retired after spending 42 years in aggregate at the St. Louis American. We also want to hear from you. Do you have a question for Wiley about his time behind the camera? How has his work impacted your understanding of St. Louis's Black community? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send an email to talk@stlpr.org. Hang tight, we'll be right back. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Wiley Price. Wiley was a photojournalist at the St. Louis American for 42 years and retired at the end of December. We would like to hear from you, people like Patrick. Patrick is calling from St. Louis. Patrick, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Oh, thank you for having me. I just want to say Wiley is an institution in St. Louis as much as the St. Louis American, and his willingness to share with other journalists when they get to a scene or a story who might not know the lay of the land or the players is just outstanding. And so I hope you consider working part-time to keep your mind sharp and to keep spreading your knowledge and years of experience with others.
Patrick, thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. I appreciate that.
Do you recognize Patrick's voice, perhaps?
No, I don't.
No? Okay. It's like, this is your life with Guy Smiley. Well, on that note, we also heard from Rebecca Rivas. And she spent 11 years at the St. Louis American. She left in 2020 for the Missouri Independent. Mm-hmm. And she said that when she first started working there, she'd hop in your car and ride to assignments. And she was mm-hmm. new to St. Louis and covering the Black community. And on the way that you would give her the lay of the land, you knew everybody there, but everybody knew Wiley. And it made her job easier because everyone trusted you. That you always arrived with a couple of cameras over your shoulder. You were ready to go. And the whole time that you were in the car together, she learned about the history of the St. Louis American. And then on the way home, you would tell her about people at the event. We also heard from Francie, who wrote on Facebook, he's a legend. We have Ron, who is now calling from Ferguson. Ron, welcome to the show.
Yes, I would like to congratulate Wiley on his retirement. I work with the National Society of Black Engineers, and he and the St. Louis American has done an outstanding job of covering a lot of our engineering students over the last 15, 20 years, highlighting specifically ones that have went on and do research and getting PhDs, and it has made a difference in the community because people come up to me all the time. I saw the pictures of that article, and it inspired my son or granddaughter to get into the engineering field. So again, we thank you for that transition to the more diverse coverage of academic careers. Thank you.
I appreciate you saying that. I've always seen my job as being inspirational. Mm-hmm. I've always seen it that way.
And was that why you went back to the American?
Very much so. Very much so. I felt like my people needed me to illustrate who they are. And that's very important to know. Because when you first come into this, you're thinking it doesn't make a difference. But it does. It does. To me, it made a difference that I was at a Black newspaper that was very, very interested in its own community mm-hmm. and covering it well. And I felt like I was the person that needed to illustrate what these great writers are about to say about this person.
Without tooting your own horn or trombone, as apropos with you, what do you think you were able to uniquely bring to the St. Louis Black community that maybe was not so present before you started that long-term stint there?
Well, for me, it's just the fact that when I show up in front of a person, I personally care about this story. So I want to get the best picture out of this. A lot of times I've had to say to people, no, this is not the way you want to look in the paper. You want to do the picture this way. And then I can tell them why. And they go, oh, okay, I see what you're trying to do. I'm like, yeah, this picture needs to really pull the reader into the story. So let's shoot it like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lucky enough to learn over the years that people started trusting me with that. I would come in and go, how do you want to shoot this? I go, okay, this is how we should do it.
Because there's a great deal of vulnerability involved in being in front of the camera.
Sure. And you can take a picture and it be misread by the person that's looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
It can easily be misread. So you have to be careful with that sometimes.
One of the pictures that you shared, Wiley, when I asked you for some samples of your many, many years of work, is this one that I'm holding here. If you could describe this and tell us why it is this person and this scene stood out to you.
This is a candlelight vigil, and there's always a candlelight vigil. The one problem with it is they all look alike, but her shirt really narrows down the topic and what is happening here. And the fact that it says, I love black people and I love you, and it's at a candlelight vigil, it speaks. And even if there was no caption on it, you understand what this picture is all about.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times the photographer has a hard time capturing that because it's not really there. You know, the overall situation doesn't come down specifically to that could be told in one image.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that one did it.
Do you recall when you took this?
I do not.
Okay. You know what? Nothing to... As far as all of the work that you have done, I can mm-hmm. understand why that would be the case. And also, you know, in the introduction, I had talked about those moments that are every day,
mm-hmm.
but remarkable and important. And you had said, I mean, the number of candlelight vigils that you've been to and that you've shot, there are too many of them.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you can overlook it. Until the photographer captures it just right, and then you go, oh yeah, and then your heart kind of fills up for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You got them.
What is the relationship between luck and patience?
That's a marriage that it works sometimes and sometimes it doesn't. People have walked up to me and go, you've been here for 2 hours. Well, why are you staying? And I always say to them, because I haven't seen the picture yet. And they go, oh, yeah, now they realize, oh, you don't want a picture. You want the picture. I'm like, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I do want it.
The real shot.
Yeah, the real shot. And sometimes, most of the time, it's not there. But it's not that I didn't wait to look for it. I was hoping it would show up, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But at least I stayed. And I feel good about that. Because I've walked away from situations and then seen something on the news that was there. And then go, oh, I should have stayed another 15 minutes and I would have got that.
Mm-hmm.
I've done that many a time to myself.
We have Sophia, who is calling from St. Louis. Sophia, welcome.
Thank you.
Sure.
I was calling to wish Wiley a great retirement because he's, I think the St. Louis American paper has won all these awards because, you know, he's been there all the time, and you know, when you look back, it's a lifetime. And when he was taking pictures, it was only, I think, Brother Maurice and Sister Rosalyn. They were the
yes.
three top photographers, and so we all knew them because they were at everything that was important, you know, to the black community. And it's just you know, we actually save a lot of the pictures because it brings back good memories of good things that he you know attended, that you know that are in our scrapbooks and everything. So we appreciate all of his hard work, and you know, we're going to really miss seeing his lovely pictures.
Mm-hmm.
I so appreciate Thanks. You
Sophia, thank you.
Okay,
we also have Linda, who's calling from St. Louis. Linda, please go ahead.
Hi, Wiley. This is Linda, and I want to congratulate you on your retirement is wonderful. You have worked so hard for so long. And even though challenges have been part of your story, you still have been a beacon for St. Louis's. And you have inspired me. I'm a photographer as well. And when you said that you can hear the, it's good to turn around and take that picture. That's how I live it too.
Linda, thank you. And also from St. Louis, we have Ken. They're just rolling in. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to say congratulations, Wiley, on your retirement. And also, I've always been interested in this with seasoned photographers. When you transitioned from film to digital, what's your feelings on that? Did you find that the quality was, better, worse, your feelings on that? And thank you very much, have a great day.
That's a very good question, because I did have a problem with it, because you have to change your mindset in the way that you shoot. When I went to digital was great because it was so immediate and you could see it right on the back of the camera. The problem with that was now you're doing your exposures differently, because the transition from film to a digital image, that digital image doesn't really exist in physical terms. It's an electronic images that, molecules that are all coming together to make a picture. And when you make it onto a print, it changes. Mm-hmm. So you had to learn to make that transition. And particularly, with African Americans, our faces get lost in the shadows immediately, no matter what format you're shooting on. And that can be a game changer sometimes when you're shooting available light. In photojournalism, the whole thing to photojournalism is that you don't use a flash, unless you absolutely have to. Well, a lot of times I was flashing people because, I'm sorry, but it's a very dark room. Mm-hmm. And even though I'm shooting 400 speed film, it's still too dark.
Right. And flashing with your camera.
Yeah. And so, you learn to bounce the light off the wall.
Sure.
So it's not so offensive. But it was a trick.
So how did you approach that, losing faces in the shadow and sort of counteracting it?
You learn on the spot to shoot more light than you need to bounce it. Because if you're going to use a softer light on darker faces or on a darker surface, it's going to take more light to bounce it. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. It's simple physics. And so a lot of times people say to me, why is your flash facing the other way? I said, so I don't blast you guys out. And they go, I get it. Yes, so the light's going to be a little softer.
Earlier, you mentioned, Wiley, how you sharpened your skills from a young age by looking at magazines and newspapers that your parents had in your home. So your photographs are also informing the current and coming generation of photojournalists. How does it feel to know that your work is doing that for photojournalists of the future?
It feels good in the sense that it doesn't really cost them anything. There's no money spent to have to do this. It might be 75 cents or $1.25. But if you're really interested in the craft and you're looking at it academically, you can get a lot of knowledge for free. Mm-hmm. You really can. And nowadays with the internet, oh my goodness, you can get a master's degree and not leave your house. There's plenty of work out there, good and bad. You have something to judge it to.
Mm-hmm. Your last day as the primary staff photographer for the St. Louis American was at the end of 2025. That was a Wednesday, mm-hmm. December 31st. Was there a mental picture that you snapped as you looked at the office that you've occupied at 2315 Pine?
Yeah, there was a mental snap because myself and another photographer, we emptied out my office all in one day. So I got to walk into my office for the last day, see it as it's always been for that past 15 or 20 years being in that room, mm-hmm. to 3 hours later, seeing it completely empty. And as a matter of fact, Lawrence took a picture of me standing in the room with it completely empty.
How did that feel?
It felt very, very weird, mm-hmm. to think all these years, these pictures and awards have been up on the walls, and then 3 hours later, nothing.
Yeah.
It felt very strange.
So what will you be doing with your time? Are you going to go back to playing the trombone more regularly?
No, right now I am not going back to anything. I'm going back to the family room and turning on the big screen TV and watching whatever's on.
Well, thank you for making time to come in and talk with us about that plan.
You're very welcome.
Wiley Price is a newly retired award-winning photojournalist whose work graced the pages of the St. Louis American. You can see a selection of his work from his career at our website. That's stlpr.org. Thank you so much for your time, Wiley, and congratulations again on this phase of your life.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you being here.
This episode was produced by Elaine Cha.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.